You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station.
All right, welcome to episode 89 of the Improv Save My Life podcast. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. This podcast is brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. Two guests today, both improvisers on the Improv Boston main stage. We have Sarah Jane Burns. What's going on, Sarah?
Hi.
Hey. Sarah is on the main stage of IB. She's also on the touring company. And she directs the Studio 40 team Mud Hut, is also a cast member of Big Bang Improv, and performs regularly at Dinner Detective.
That's right.
Our other guest this week is Kate McGroarty King. What's going on, Kate?
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Kate is also a member of the main stage at IB and the touring company. She directs the new show at IB, All Access Improv. She is also a cast member of Hidden Falls and directs Cuddle Party, independent improv group, really talented. And you are a writer for a sketch group in Chicago called, I wrote this down
wrong. Shanna's Mom.
I had Shanna's MM, and I couldn't figure it out.
Shanna's that works, too. I like that.
Cool, guys. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Can you just kind of talk me through kind of where you guys grew up and how you got into comedy? We can start with you, Sarah.
Sure. I grew up in upstate New York in a town called Rochester.
Woo!
Yeah, Rochester.
I don't know anything about Rochester. I just felt like giving you support.
Home of Kodak.
Oh.
I moved to Boston almost 8 years ago.
Woo!
And, yes.
Sorry, I'll stop.
And I went to school for biochemistry, actually. And then I decided that I wanted to be an actor. So I got started acting in Boston. I did a lot of stage work and I did some screen work. And I discovered Improv Boston through an acting friend of mine. I thought it would help with, you know, auditioning and a lot of the things that I'd like to do involve some improv as well. So I was like, oh, maybe this will help. And
were
so,
you always, like, funny?
No. No, I was always very dramatic as a kid. I was like, I was voted most dramatic in high school. I was not funny.
That's awesome. Wait, I'm going to let you go on.
No.
What's the most dramatic thing you did in high school? Like, what would earn you that title?
I think I was just very, like, I rolled my eyes a lot, and I got into a lot of trouble, but, like, I always got out of the trouble.
Of course.
So, yes, I was voted most dramatic. And then I started taking improv classes and discovered that that can be funny. Actually, but that is a funny thing to some people. So I ended up falling in love with it, and I continued through the classes at IB, and kind of went through the Improv Boston stepping stones. I did Herald Night, and then I did Face Off, and now I'm on main stage in Dorkall.
That's awesome.
It. Yeah.
And
is it my turn?
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to abbreviate this as much as possible because I'm a million years old. No, it's so I grew up in Minnesota. I loved theater from a really young age, and I became a professional actor in Minnesota when I was 11. So I grew up around actors and professional creative people, and that's just all I ever wanted to do my whole life. But I wanted to be taken very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I was so, oh man, I should show people my, like, high school photos. You know, you take your, like, senior pictures. And I was like, I don't want, you know, because everyone goes and, like, I don't know if this is a thing everywhere in the country, but in Minnesota, when you get your senior pictures, you're, like, in a field.
Oh.
And you're just swing.
Totally.
Like, yeah, and I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm a serious actress. So I got these, like, black and white headshots that are just
so did I.
They're
I
so dramatic.
Where I'm, like, perched reading sheet music.
But I was like, no props. I was totally like, I took it so dead serious that I just like, I'm not smiling in them. It's horrendous.
Well, at least you could use them for headshots.
Oh, God. Just the worst. But so then I went to college for theater. I went to Northwestern in Chicago, and I went through their acting program, which is a non-audition program, but it is a 3-year conservatory type program. It's a really intense school that's like, they're always like, you get the best of like a conservatory and a non-conservatory. And what they mean is like, you have to do both of the hard amounts of work. So that was amazing, and I loved it. And they do have an audition-only music theater program, and I went through their music theater program. Around my senior year of college, I was like, and I picked theater. I was deciding between opera and theater growing up, because I'm a classically trained singer. I'm the worst. I'm just the worst.
I was at one of the shows over the weekend, and I was, or maybe Thursday, and I was blown away by your singing. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I have a gorgeous singing voice.
A lot of people come up to me after shows and are like, you should be in real musicals. I'm like, thank you. Been there, done that.
Choose
not to be. Thank you so much.
That's my choice.
After one show, some guy came up and was like, it is a shame that you're not doing musicals.
Huh.
I was like, oh, thank you, sir, for deciding what my life is supposed to be. But I didn't say that. I was very like, oh, thank you. That's so nice. So I actually, fun story. So I had this Ukrainian voice teacher in high school, Oksana Brin, who was incredible. And she would like punch you in the stomach to get you to support more. And like, oh, what a character. She was 80 years old. She was so great. And she took me to my first opera when I was 16. And I was like, nope, don't want to do it. There's not enough laughing. There was one laugh line in the whole thing. And that's the only part of the opera I remember. I was like, I can't do this. So I went to college, did acting, still wanted to be taken very seriously. Graduated, was an actress in Chicago for a number of years after that, and just kind of got frustrated with the scene. I don't know.
In theater?
In theater, yeah, straight theater. I still really love acting. Actually, when I moved out here, I did the Stage Source audition. I was like, maybe I'll do some plays, because I do miss that from time to time. But and I've gotten some calls from it, and each time I've been like, no. So I don't know. It might be something I pick up later, but for now I'm pretty improv focused. But it definitely influences everything I do. I'm a very actor improviser. But then what happened? Oh, so then I won a contest to live in a museum for a month.
Wait, what?
You can't just casually move on from that.
Sure, watch me do it.
Wasn't there some book, children's book, where these kids live in a museum?
Mm-hmm. The Mixed-Up Files of Miss Basil E. Frankweiler, I think is, oh man, I'm going to get that title wrong. I'm going to get so many emails from my parents.
Was this based on this book?
I don't actually honestly remember how they came up with it. I think in part by that, in part by Night at the Museum. But the marketing team at the Museum of Science and Industry wanted to do some kind of event to kind of generate interest in the museum. So they were like, oh, we'll have someone live there for a month and write about their experience.
One person? Just you?
Yep, just me.
So I have a lot of questions about this.
Oh, yes, please.
So did you...
Let's not talk about improv.
It's fascinating. Did you, tour the museum? You woke up in the morning.
Yep.
It's a bright and beautiful day. And there's
do you
want to
do a
dinosaur. Let's do a scene based on this.
Great.
And there's a dinosaur exhibit, in your nightstand.
So here's how it would work. Actually, let me just burn through commonly asked questions. They built a bedroom for me in an office, up on their office area. There was this plexiglass cube that was my office, so I would sit in there and do my writing during the day. But I hate going to zoos now, because I was like, wow, having people just look at you even for 5 minutes is the worst. So I would come outside of it and just talk to people for the hours I was supposed to be in there. But it's a museum of science and industry, so they don't have a lot of natural science. They don't have dinosaurs, they don't have specimens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they have a really great weather exhibit. It's a beautiful museum.
Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, it's just the best. So I would spend the whole day getting tours of the exhibits and then writing about them or doing interviews or going to events, and it was busy. I brought all these books and I didn't read a single one. It was busy. So I had that experience, and that was a pretty significant experience in my life. I got a lot of media exposure from it, which some of it was fun, but I honestly didn't love it. I didn't love, because I was kind of locally famous for a month, and then all of a sudden not. And
yeah.
I was like, this is terrible.
When it was presented to you,
mm-hmm.
So you had to audition for it, or how did it come about?
You had to apply for it. So you apply. It was like applying to college. This like whole application, big interview process. Yeah.
And when you got accepted, you were like, did you have to think about it, or were you just like, yes, I'm in?
I thought about it. I did think about it, but mostly I was like, yeah, I'm in. This sounds weird and cool and fun.
Yeah, it's an experience that
yeah.
pretty much no one else will ever have.
Yeah,
very unique.
Yeah, and that's how I am as an improviser, too. Very rarely do I, like, what. Sometimes I think too much, but I'm always like, yeah, let's do it. Whatever. What's your weird idea? I'm in. So after that, I quit acting and performing altogether for about a year, and I got really depressed. Because I was like, I don't want to get famous. I don't want to, like, be in front of people. I was getting so frustrated with acting.
Is this due to having somewhat fame and then it kind of going away?
Kind of, but then also kind of being like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to work more in education with my life. Like, maybe that's my life purpose. Yeah. I was 24. And I was like, I don't really know what I want anymore. I don't know what I want out of my life. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I just kind of drifted for about a year, and it was horrible. It was, like, probably the worst year of my life. And then I started taking, kind of randomly, I'd always wanted to take Second City classes. And I came back from I don't know that I've told this story to anyone before. I came back from an interview that I did, I think, 3 months after this museum experience. I was interviewed for a radio station in Chicago, and they're like, what are you doing now? And I was like, I don't know. And they were like, okay, cool, you'll figure it out. So I got home, and I was like, I need to do something with myself. So I signed up for the sketch program and the improv practice program at Second City. And then here I am. Now I just do a bunch of improv. Improv probably quite literally saved my life. I'm obsessed with improv. I love it. I think it's so beautiful. So I took improv for actors, and then I auditioned for the conservatory at Second City, and I didn't get in right away, which I shouldn't have because I had taken 2 improv classes in my life. And then I went back and took some other classes, and then I got into the conservatory and graduated and did a bunch of stuff in Chicago, and here I am.
Yes.
Now I'm in Boston.
How long ago did you move to Boston?
I moved here about 10 months ago.
Nice. And you just jumped right into IB?
Yep. it was a hard transition because I had lived in Chicago for 10 years and I had tons of friends there. And I moved out here because I got married and my husband is in grad school. And I hadn't moved anywhere since I was 18. So I was just kind of like, oh, I'm not used to this at all. And I'm a Midwestern girl through and through, so the East Coast was a little hard to adjust to. Not that hard, but a little hard. I mean, not that hard because I had all these improvisers to hang out with all of a sudden. But I met Mike D. in Chicago because we did One Night Only together, which is what would become Blank the Musical. And he found out I was moving, and he was like, great. And Dina actually saw me in One Night Only in Chicago. So when I moved, I was able to join the tour company in Hidden Falls right away, which was great because I had things to go do and people to meet, and everyone was really nice and welcoming. And then in December, I tried out for Main Stage and got on. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I was very lucky that I already knew people in town.
Sarah, do you go by Sarah or Sarah Jane?
Sarah's great, yeah.
You said you had a bio, or you were majoring in biochemistry?
Yes, my degree is in biochem. My research was in acetylcholinesterase inhibition, which is Alzheimer's research.
Cool. Can you say that again?
Acetylcholinesterase inhibition.
So is that a neurotransmitter?
Kind of. It's an enzyme involved in, when just to go off on a little
do
science
it.
Tangent.
Do it!
Second.
I love it.
It's a relatively new field of research. When people develop Alzheimer's, it's undetectable for the most part physically in the brain, but they found that in autopsies they develop these little plaques in their brain. And part of that we think is because of a buildup in a certain enzyme. And so my work was in trying to inhibit the production of this enzyme. So another team would synthesize different chemicals, and I would test the chemicals to see if they would work. And it was something I was really into, very passionate about. I thought I maybe wanted to be a spinal surgeon or a brain surgeon, and I was like on the path. I took the MCATs. I was like ready to go. I changed my mind. I was also a kid actor. And did professional theater as a kid.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
So it was something that I ended up coming back to. It wasn't a new thing for me. And I just, I shadowed a doctor, and I realized it was, acting was a part of my life that I couldn't give up. And I watched his life and saw that he only did his work and didn't have time for anything else. Barely had time for his family. So, it was a very difficult decision. Took me a long time to decide, but I ended up inevitably choosing theater.
Did you have like a moment? Like, was there any like event that happened?
I wouldn't say that there was a moment. I actually had started taking improv, and I would say that it was a catalyst for sure in my decision, because improv is so freeing, and I was having so much fun doing that and no fun doing anything else. So it was an outlet, and it was also like I fell in love with it, and in a way that I had never felt about science. And I do love science so much, and I miss it like crazy, but I feel like I'm definitely where I should be.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah,
nice.
Definitely.
So you guys are both relatively new to the main stage.
Yeah.
How has that experience been going for you guys?
You go first, because you're newer.
Okay. Well, I love main stage.
There's this girl, Kate. She's just the worst. She's such a bully.
I love everyone but this girl from Chicago. No, I really love it. Everyone has been incredibly supportive. I feel like very blessed to be on a team with so many great improvisers, and I can learn from every single one of them, which is rare, I think, to be on a team with somebody, to be on a team with people that you feel you can learn something from every single one of them.
Yeah, you have a great cast, like extended cast, kind of.
So good. And I've actually, last night was only my second show. I'm really brand new.
Is it really?
Yes, yeah.
That's great. I've done both your shows with you.
Yes, you have.
Oh, that's so fun.
And you've made them both great.
you have. We're turning this into the compliment podcast.
Yeah. I'm really, really loving it. I feel lucky. I feel overwhelmed and nervous, but very lucky.
What makes you feel overwhelmed? I'm sorry, I'll let you overwhelmed. I'm just curious about Sarah.
Now suddenly I'm on a team with people that I have watched be brilliant for years. Bobby, specifically, Bobby Smithney and Ben Scuria are two of my favorite improvisers in the city. And the very first show that I saw at Improv Boston was, like, 2010, and Bobby Smithney was in it. And I still remember things that he said in that show.
That's
because
amazing.
He was so good.
Does he know that? Have you
I
told
don't
him
know.
That?
I don't think he does.
Oh, yeah,
I should
so
tell
funny.
Him. I should tell him.
You should write them down. I like, remember when you said this.
Yeah. One of them was, like, a presidential candidate. I don't know. He's just, I find him so brilliant. So that's what's overwhelming about it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a good way. In a good way.
So I guess I might have been at your first show.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
that was my first show.
They did something really funny where you did that the guessing singing game.
Yeah.
Cab victim.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the final one where there were two of you trying to guess, and at one point you're just like, "Yeah, no, we switch places."
Yeah. So it's,
what was the movie we were trying? It was like Wizard.
Oh,
Teen Wizard.
Teen Sorcery. Teen Sorcery.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
I took that suggestion too. I am not sorry about it. That was hilarious.
Brian Augustine and I were trying to guess Teen Sorcery, which how do you guess that?
Oh, you did it though. It was so great.
And I made him switch places. So he had to guess.
Oh, that was too fun.
Yeah,
I love moments like
but
that.
Yeah, that was my first main stage.
That's awesome. You did great.
Thank you.
How did you find the?
Oh, I have to ask the question.
Yeah.
Really, really great. I really love everyone in the cast. When I got cast, I was really nervous that people weren't gonna be nice to me or be accepting of me because I'm an out of towner that just came in. But everyone is awesome. Everyone's great. I sincerely feel like everyone has my back and everyone just wants to do good improv and have good shows. And that's a really special feeling, I think. It's just such a joy to do the show always. It's fun that there's different people in it every night. I always wish I could perform with people more. Like, everyone is so good and I just want more stage time with everyone. But everyone's talented in a lot of different ways and it's fun to play off each other and I find it really challenging too, which I like. Mm-hmm. I always just want to be getting better. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Nice. You both are directing indie teams now too. How's that experience going?
Okay. Well, I have to go first this time.
Yeah.
I've only had one rehearsal with Kettle Party, so I'm very new to directing them.
They're super talented.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
They're just the best.
What's their format?
They don't have one yet. They had been doing the deconstruction, but
okay.
I think they want to move away from that. They're all very smart. Like, they're an incredibly smart group, which is, I think, your greatest strength is always your greatest weakness.
It's true.
My whole perspective on directing is always, it's your group, I'm here in service of you, so I'm going to kind of let them, they can do whatever form
yeah,
they want, you know?
They'll figure it out.
But I'm just trying to be helpful in terms of, like, what would be the best form for you that would also be challenging and also successful, so,
yeah.
I don't know, we don't know yet, they don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I'm also directing All Access, which I'm obsessed with. Just, like, obsessed with the cast.
Wait, you direct All Access?
Oh, my God.
So that's a relatively new show.
It is.
And I won tickets to it, so I'm going to check it out tonight.
Oh,
yes! Come see it. I love it. The cast is so great. They're so fun. They make the weirdest choices. It just makes me so happy.
What's the, is there a idea behind the show?
It's like a faster paced main stage with no swears because it's supposed to, like, no, we don't go very blue and we don't have any swearing. It's meant to be, it's not specifically a show for children, but it is a show that you could bring children to. I don't want to say it's changing. I'm still playing around with the philosophy behind the show exactly. We're all kind of finding it together. There's a, like in main stage, we do a lot of lay-ons, we do a lot of games, but for me, the focus is always a relationship first. Like, anything you do has to support what is going on in a scene. And we want it to still be really playful and really energetic and just kind of following the fun everywhere, but it still, at its core, has to be good improv. I think it's really exhausting to go in and see a show that's just like a bunch of disposable scenes, where it's like, oh my God, another scene where we're talking about the scenery, like,
yeah.
it's you can get as wacky and as zany as you want, but if it's not grounded in something, it's really hard to care about it. So that's really what we're working on and we're working towards, is a show that is meaningful but incredibly fun. And it's hosted, so we have one person who does all the lay-ons pretty much, and that person, their only job is to be kind of an outside eye on the show and how it's going and, like, what kind of energy it needs and what the pacing needs, and I'm kind of still developing a philosophy for that, too. I got to call the show on 4th of July, and that was really helpful for me. That was a super fun show. I'm obsessed with it. They're all brilliant and great. And, we have tons of challenges, and there's just ways I want to make the show better, but it's the most fun. It's a problem how much I think about the show and how much I, like, want to work on it.
You have a great cast, too.
Oh, my God.
The cast is stellar.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very talented. A lot of people who are super talented and just need pushes in the right
mm-hmm.
directions, and
yeah.
they'll just be brilliant. Like, so good. Yeah. So it's newer, but it's already showing a lot of potential to be just a very special, good show.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I like it. I like them.
Cool.
Sarah?
I'm directing Mud Hut. They are a Studio 40 team, and I started directing them because it's a group of seven, and a couple of them, they're all in a class together, and a couple of them came to see a face-off show when I was still doing face-off, and they came out to the field afterwards, and they started talking to me a little bit, and mentioned that they wanted to, like, get a team going, and I was like, oh, well, I'm kind of interested in directing, and it was a very casual thing, like... just threw out some ideas. Like, yeah, okay.
It's, you're describing like a meet cute.
Then it was. It was such a meet cute. The next thing I knew, we were in a long-term committed relationship.
That's how they get you.
Yes. No, I love them so much. Hey. They are like family to me at this point. And they are so excited and they are so good. It was actually a little scary because I went to the first rehearsal with everyone there and I was like, oh, you're all better than I am. I don't know what I can do to help you. but they're just raw talent, all of them. And it's really exciting to see that. It's exciting to see people up and coming in the theater who are still in classes who have so much potential. And I love working with them so much.
It's such a different mindset, though, between directing and performing.
Oh, my gosh.
It's such a different skill set.
Definitely, yeah.
It's almost like you take on the role of an editor when you're directing, which I think is... I often have it, because All Access is at 6 on Saturdays, so when we have to do the 8 o'clock show on Saturdays in Main Stage, I'm still trying to figure out how to make that switch. Of like, all right, I have to just, like, not think about, oh, dropped offer. That was a dropped offer. Like, you just have to not think about it when you're performing.
Exactly.
But it's,
hard to throw that out the window. Now that I've had some time with them, some experience directing, mm-hmm. I've had to consciously forget about directing when I'm performing on stage.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because you're like, oh, I'm not sure I would have made that choice. But you can't think about that when you're performing.
It's not your job.
It's not your job.
No.
That's right.
It hurts you.
Yeah.
It hurts you a lot. But, directing is very special.
Yeah.
Cool. Can you guys think of either a best or worst moment, or both, that you've had on stage throughout your improv careers?
Oh, our whole careers?
Yeah.
I could just do the show last night.
That's a great question. One of my favorite moments was a Big Bang show. And it was, a group of great performers and we were somehow, Big Bang is very organic. We find things as we're, doing the set and somehow, somebody just started like throwing one of the chairs around, and it became like an assembly line. It was a really great stage picture. We had a circle just like throwing some chairs. Like, we had to take a chair, toss it to the next person, toss it to the next person. Well, as we were doing the scene, both of the chairs broke. Like, completely fell apart on stage. It was about halfway through our set, and we used the broken chairs in almost every scene that followed, and it turned into an incredible run of scenes that couldn't have really happened if the chairs didn't break. But the moment when they broke, the audience, like, collectively went, like, there's a huge laugh right after. And it was a lesson in the best work can be done after something you feel like it's a catastrophic moment in the show. You're like, oh my god, we just broke this chair. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into some of the funniest stuff I think I've done on stage. So,
chairs can be interesting because I've seen the creative director at IA. When in house teams, sometimes people use chairs in ways they probably shouldn't. Like, if you're pretending like you're in a car and you try to scoot the chair along, it's probably going to fuck up the floor at a certain point.
Yeah.
And you just see people, like, cringe, but they can't do anything from off stage. So it's like... But I've actually heard, like, notes like, take it easy on the chairs. We just got new chairs.
Never take it easy on the chairs. Ever. Never.
Chairs are kind of a staple of improv.
I feel like I'm always throwing them around.
Yeah.
I can't believe
you threw one around last night.
I sure did. Well, I was playing Mark Wahlberg. What would you do? Come on.
Yeah.
I have a million best moments. So when I actually like think about what moments are most satisfying to me on stage, there's two categories for me. There's just two. I love all the work we do. I find characters really challenging. I'm not a strong character performer, and it's getting better because I'm working hard on it. But I like what's satisfying for me is when you create a scene with your partner that is grounded in realism, that still have distinct characters, obviously, but
mm-hmm.
characters that would like exist in the real world, and it's funny just because it's honest. That always feels really satisfying to me. I'd say the scene that I did with Ari last night, the ice cream shop scene.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the show last night?
Yeah,
you were. Yeah, we just talked about that. I'm so tired. But I would count that as, like, that felt really satisfying to me. So it was like we were real people in a real environment. We were living in our environment. We were invested in it. We had, a relationship that we explored, and there was comedy just in the relationship. That always feels really good to me. Probably because it gets closer to theater for me. It gets closer to, serious real acting.
Black and white headshot.
Black and white headshot girl, exactly. But I've surprised myself in my time in Boston in how kind of outside my comfort zone I've been able to get. So that always feels really good, too. And I'm obsessed with music improv. Oh, my gosh. I improvised, I think, the best song I've ever improvised in a rehearsal.
No.
And I'll never be able to do it again.
Actually, this is something that Kate and I share, too. I'm a big musical improviser. I love it so much. But I had the same experience when the best musical song I've ever improvised was in a rehearsal. Wasted!
Just so, I think half the cast was there.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was
listening.
It was so sad. it was a patter song, which rhymed and had great musicality. We were, shifting keys the whole time. We had, a chord progression. it just made me so mad.
Yeah.
But, worst moment. I have a worst moment story. I can tell the story I told you about the Halloween scene.
Oh.
So I think I get most frustrated when I am not quick enough to be able to deal with misogyny or homophobia on stage. That always really frustrates me because I have smart responses to things like that, but sometimes I just get really flustered. So we were doing a show, and it was me and Nate Lopez in a scene, and we were a couple, and the whole game of the scene was just Nate can't remember what day of the year it is, and it hurts my feelings, and it turned out to be Halloween, so someone would freeze. Kate's wearing a costume, head to toe, what is it? And someone yelled out, "French maid," and they took that suggestion, and it I didn't know what to do, because it's really, I have a response to that, but I just couldn't get it out, because it's really just flustering and vulnerable to suddenly, be a sex object in front of a room of people. I was like, oh, no. I said something totally dumb. And then Nate was like, the tuxedo's not doing it. So he covered me up at everyone's mind, which I totally appreciated. That's why main stage is great. Everyone does that. Everyone has each other's back. But that's the stuff that I'm always like, shoot, I missed that chance to, be smarter in this moment or, rise to the occasion of that. But that stuff's pretty rare. But that's the stuff that I'm always I feel bad about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, could have handled that smarter.
Ugh. Yeah, but I don't think that you're the one who looked like an ass in that situation.
Well, sure, but I don't know. I think there's really smart ways to handle that kind of situation in a way that's not shaming to the audience.
Yeah.
But it's also hey, buddy, not cool. I'm a human. We're all here together.
Yeah, that's both the beauty and the danger in improvising a scene is that sometimes it can get a little bit uncomfortable for the improviser.
Yeah, totally.
But I mean, it sounds like you handled it with grace. So
yeah, I would give myself a solid B minus on that moment. Could have been better. Wasn't a total disaster. But it's stuff like that I'm like, shoot, missed. It's a missed opportunity. That always makes me feel bad. A missed opportunity to, handle a moment with grace and intelligence. But it was, it was obviously fine. But what about you? What's the worst thing you've ever done, Sarah?
The worst thing I've ever done? My worst moments have definitely been, I do a dinner detective show, which is a dinner theater show.
Yeah.
With Greg Hernandez, mostly. We play
love
detectives. And it's about 2/3 improvised, 1/3 scripted.
Oh, I want to see this so bad.
But it's very interactive with the audience, so they have a lot of power in the show. And we've had a couple moments where we just didn't know how to handle the situation. One time we had a couple who were fighting the entire night, both plastered out of their minds, and by the end of the show were just screaming over us. But actually, Greg is really great at crowd work. One time we had a similar kind of thing. There was a family sitting at a table, and it was the first act, and they wouldn't stop talking. They just wouldn't stop talking. So Greg stood him up and asked him what he did for work, and he said something like he worked on an assembly line or something. So we took the family and we put them in a line, and we had them do an improvised assembly line while we did the rest of the act. We told them they couldn't talk and they had to keep working while we finished the act. That's... and they did it, and they were silent the entire time. And eventually, like, the rest of the audience completely ignored them, but they weren't even there anymore. It was amazing.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's
so awesome. Yeah. It's another instance where if you're taking suggestions from the audience, or if you're being very interactive with an audience,
mm-hmm.
it can get uncomfortable and
mm-hmm.
it can get overwhelming, but that's something I'm working on too, is
mm-hmm.
how to handle that and how to quickly respond so as not to negate the audience
totally
and make them feel ostracized by the cast, but
mm-hmm.
also to let them know that it's not okay and
yeah.
that we're moving on from it.
I mean, I think that we were talking about this last night after the show.
Yeah.
Because we had a really rowdy audience last night.
Yeah.
There were some birthdays.
Please. Kate started a scene initiated by making, like, a very obvious, what I thought was obvious, motion of she was trimming hedges. And from the audience, a lady just goes, "She's trimming hedges." Like, completely, like, quiet. And this audience just, like, and Kate, without missing a beat, was amazing. She goes, "Yes, thank you, neighbor, for saying exactly what I'm doing. Thank you." And then it turned into a great scene.
Well, and then Ari and Sam Ike, like, popped into the audience and just commented
yeah.
on the whole scene as neighbors.
Yeah.
It was so fun. But it's, I mean, that's, I think that's obviously people who want to be involved. Like, that's the, like, so you have to, like, I don't know, when you're doing an improv show, you're throwing a party, right? And you want everyone to feel like they're having fun at your party.
Right.
So you have to kind of be like, "I acknowledge that you are here. Also, please stop." And when we were doing Day in the Life, too, there was that guy at the side who kept yelling, "Happy ending!"
Yeah.
So I kept being like, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
And I honestly think I can get away with some of that when some people can't. I'm just being like, stop.
It's your dimples.
It's, yeah, seriously. It's like, you have to stop doing that
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
yeah, audiences, man. I think audiences are the thing that are, like, so important to the work. It's like, you have to have a good audience.
It's all
those
about
are,
the audience.
Oh, it's all about the
yeah.
audience, yeah. And it's, and sometimes they just want to be, like, the most inside you show ever. And you have to be like, "Hey, I love you too. Also, sit down."
So quiet.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So where you guys are now in your improv careers, how do you feel, and ultimately, where do you want to end up?
Well,
I just touched my nose,
yeah,
so I have to go first.
Yeah, got her finger on the nose, she doesn't go first. I'm kind of a play it by ear kind of person.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna. I'm gonna give commentary to your life plan. Nice. Yeah, you do it, Sarah.
Okay. So as it stands now, I plan on continuing with the Improv Boston cast that I'm on.
Nice. I'm sorry. I'm going to hide under this desk. Keep going.
But eventually, I would like to move, probably to New York, but maybe L.A., just because I'm a professional actor and about to be SAG. And
sweet.
Unfortunately, I'm limiting my opportunity in Boston by being in the union, because there's so much non-union work here, and that's really how I've been supporting myself, is with non-union work. That's an eventual plan for me, but probably not in the short-term future. And I really look forward to learning and growing with the cast that I'm on in the meantime. I'm really happy with that. But I would like to continue with improv. However, I crave being back on stage and being in a dramatic role. Maybe getting back into screen work as well, but, like, I really want to do some theater.
Nice.
Straight theater.
Sarah, you're so dramatic. Yes, the best.
When do we do superlatives for the podcast?
You have to, like, flip over a table for me or something. You gotta earn that superlative. Jeez.
Oh, man.
I have so many thoughts about this. I'm not, so I'm like a super ambitious person. I think that's something you're born with or you're not. And unfortunately, I'm just incredibly ambitious, and I always want to do, like, I'm just such a spaz. I'm always like, how can I do it better? It's like, not great. It tires me out. But at the same time, I don't do this kind of work. I don't know. If this ever became a full-time job, that would be great. And if it didn't, that would also be great. My focus, my ambition is really on just doing the best work and having the work being, like, just so satisfying. Like, that would make me feel just so happy with my life. So in terms of that goal, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm really challenged. I really like all the groups I'm working on and with. I'm learning a lot. Just to get real for a second, yeah. I get really bad seasonal affective disorder. Like, it's unbelievable how much happier I am in the summer.
I do too.
Oh, I think everyone does.
Yeah.
It's just the worst.
Yeah, and sometimes it's better than others, but, mm-hmm. like, I've had a couple of winters that have been terrible.
Yeah.
This past winter included.
Why do we do this to ourselves? Oh, my husband and I probably are going to move at some point. We don't know when and we don't know where, which I'm kind of torn about now because I really like this community and I'm liking all the work that I'm doing. But we just bought plane tickets to go check out LA in January, just to, like, live there for a week to see if we could handle it. I really, really want to move somewhere sunny. It's just, like, what I want to do. We'll see what happens. But also I'm, like, still thinking of getting a master's degree in something because I work for Harvard and it's like, why not? Wouldn't you be stupid not to?
Yeah, get in there.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I like my day job. So I kind of...
What do you do at Harvard?
I work for a translational science center. So I'm a coordinator. I plan a lot of events, manage a lot of littler projects. I manage all the moves. I like it. I have a great manager. So, yeah, I don't really... I don't know. I think I've kind of given over to the... I'm trying not to worry about it too much. And I'm kind of given over to, like, just keep following the things that you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And keep working as hard as you can at all the things that make you feel alive. And then, you know, some kind of path will show up.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well
thanks.
Said.
I got a... My superlative in high school was most soulful. It wasn't. I wish it was. Yeah.
For upcoming projects, what do you guys have coming up?
I'm writing a musical.
What?
Have I told you about this?
No.
Oh, I'm so obsessed with this, and I hope I actually follow through on this at some point. It's called Sports Movie the Musical, and it's exactly what it sounds like.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I need to actually, like, sit down and write it. But that plus, like, all the other things I've already talked about.
Yeah.
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 What about you?
I actually write songs.
Nice.
I've done a couple. I did one at the...
Wait, I'm sorry. Let me do it again. Nice. So you did one at the kerfuffle.
Yeah, I did one at the kerfuffle. They're funny. And I have a couple in the works. And I don't know what I want to do with them, but I think I might put them together and maybe do, like, a one-time show, which I've never done before. I've never done stand-up. I've never done, like, a solo anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to compile them and perform them all together. That would be fun for me. So I'm thinking about doing that, and I'm also thinking about doing a one-person improvised show.
Ooh.
And that, I think, would be focused on not so much comedy, but realism, and I have some ideas about, like, involving the audience, and I'm really excited about that. That's in the baby stages, but something I'm thinking about for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, and I'm going to Chicago for the first ever Chicago Music Improv Festival in August, which is...
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I, like, already bought my ticket before I knew that IB was going, because I was like, I have to be there.
That's awesome.
I have to go to that. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Nice. As far as stuff I have coming up, if you listen to this today, the day it comes out Sunday or early Monday, there's On Point Improv, which is a show for independent improv teams. I think Mudhut's performing tomorrow.
They are.
It's at the Cambridge YMCA from 8 to 10. There's a spot for a team called Improv 2, which is just for solo improvisers that might not have a team to perform with. They just sign up night of, and that team is just comprised solely of solo improvisers, and maybe a team can come together from that.
It's really cool.
It's a fun show. Thursday, myself and Laura Murley will be at Awkward Compliment, performing as Monotone, It should be a good show. Friday night, I have Rhythm and Laughs at the Riot Theater, which is really, it's my favorite show that I put on. It's, we get a solo acoustic musician to play like 5 or 6 of their own songs, and then in between each song, a group of improvisers improvise a montage based on the lyrics or the concept of the song. And it's just it's a cool experience to get the two different genres kind of blended together. And then me and Mike Cox are working on Bait, the Boston Annual Improv Tournament, which I think Mud Hut and Kettle Party are both performing in. That's in August. That is an indie team tournament. And just lastly, Improv Cares, which is an initiative we just started, is trying to look for volunteers to teach free improv lessons to organizations in need. We met with our first organization last week, and hopefully we'll be putting a pilot program together in August. So if you're interested in signing up, even if you can only do one day a month or something like that, just there's a sign-up sheet on the Improv Cares Facebook page, and just put your availability down, and you know, if something works out, you know, it's fun. You're going to be doing what you love to do anyway, and other people will benefit from it. So check that out. But that's it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. This was fun.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah,
yeah, it was fun.
It was nice.
Right. Should we do superlatives? Or
oh, let's do superlatives. Yes.
Okay. I think voted most chill would probably have to be Tom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom's pretty chill. 100%. Yeah.
Definitely not you.
Yeah, no. We are not even, like, runners up.
No.
There are three of us here, and we are not runners up.
Absolutely. So Tom is most chill.
Yeah.
I think Sarah today, you get best hair.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
The side swept look. You
yeah,
like that?
It's great. I'm loving it. It's great.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And I think Kate would probably have to be, I'm going to vote you most dramatic.
Oh. That's fair.
Nice set.
That's totally fair. Yes, I stole your crown. Was it my headshots?
Yeah, it was your headshots. I just feel like you're the reigning queen, and I'm happy to offer it up to you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll steal your crown next time you bring it to rehearsal. I look
as
forward to
most
it.
Most dramatic shift.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm it's not going to be a pleasant steal. Steal it. We're both going to cry.
Yeah.
It's rehearsal. We'll stop for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we'll start up again.
I look forward to it.
Great.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening. Yeah. Bye.